If you weren't born with a trust fund, but feel like you should have one, you are in the right place. Welcome to Old Money, a podcast dedicated to breaking down the new rules to living well and getting wealthy. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. And while I don't have any insider trading secrets, I do have some secrets about how getting rich is actually an inside job. I'm your host, Amber Evenson. Now, let's get into it. Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast for women building the trust funds they wish they were born with. I'm your host, Amber Evenson, and I am coming at you from a different location. I know you don't know that because you're listening in audio, but I am recording this from the cutest hotel. It's called the Granger Hotel. If you have not stalked it on Instagram yet, I highly recommend it. So aesthetic, so cute. Brand new hotel, not brand new, recently new hotel in downtown San Diego. I'm maybe like 10, 12 blocks from my house, but I'm on a content retreat, as the girlies do. Actually, I don't know if the girlies do it, but I do it. I am taking a couple nights to knock out so much content. And tomorrow I have somebody coming from my team to the suite that I'm in on the fifth floor overlooking Gaslamp, which is kind of gross in San Diego, but the hotel is cute. And we're knocking out maybe 40, 45 pieces of content tomorrow for AF marketing and for Old Money. Right now, the name of the game in my life is efficiency and getting as much done at one time as I can. And that's why we're content batching. And I'm really excited about getting all of these ideas recorded and out to the world, talking about marketing and money and all the things. So stay tuned for that. And by the way, if you guys are interested in learning more about the marketing side of what I do in my day-to-day job, I don't know. I know a lot of you are entrepreneurs, but I just don't know if that content interests you and how we do it and how we make a day of it and get so much content done, how we edit so fast, like all the things, please let me know because I'd love to talk about it with you. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. Today, we are here for me to start the process of breaking down for you what I have spent five figures on in the last 6 months to get my mind right. Going through any type of big life transition is sure to bring up a whole bunch of different emotions and fears. And for me, it basically turned my whole life upside down and shook it to see what would come out. And what came out for me were massive lessons about how I show up in relationships, how I show up in relationships. And I am that girl who is so quick to point out how everybody else is contributing to the relationship and not being able to see what I bring to the relationship. And I wanted to start this whole conversation out as a little bit of a throwback, a tribute to our first ever podcast episode, which was Make Money Your Boyfriend. If you listened back to the encores, you know that that episode just re-released. I think it was like episode 110. It's our most downloaded episode of all time, and for good reason. It is the foundation of everything we're talking about on Old Money, and we need to talk about it again. The reason is because the ways that we show up in relationships with money specifically are not just about dollars and cents. There is energy, there are beliefs, there are patterns, there are habits, there are deeply ingrained ways that we be that we don't even know that we are standing in the way of our own abundance. And I am a testament. I am a living example of literally changing my life in the last 4 months to being in a complete state of lack. I was in a complete state of lack because my fear was running my life in many areas to going to a complete state of peace. And that transformation for me has looked like going from questioning if I'm even the type of person that should get married. Can I do this? I'm hyper independent. Should I be in a partnership? What does this look like for me? Freaking the fuck out about the future, like chaos, crying, throwing up, dumping all of my emotions on my partner, to being in such a state of bliss and peace that for me right now to be 10 blocks away from him and Poppy is like breaking my heart. Like, I don't want to be this. By the way, this is the most fabulous fucking hotel in San Diego right now. And I have this incredible opportunity to be here and create content and be creative. And like, I just want to have a normal Monday night at home, like being in bed, scrolling TikToks with my husband. Like the difference is night and day. And without going into too much detail, trust me when I say that everything has changed, but I was the thing that changed. And then let's talk about having some awareness now in my business. When you get those emails, like I get them from clients, I know you get them from your boss, where somebody drops something on your calendar and they're like, we need to talk. And that can send you, and it has sent me, into a complete shit spiral of complete dysregulation. And then you've got 5 hours burned in your workday between the time that they drop it on the calendar and then you have the meeting where you're being an absolute bitch to everybody that you come across. You're responding to emails, but per my last email, like just being a brat, you're having a terrible day. You're so spun up. Your heart is racing. You're sweating. You're angry. You're grumpy. You're freaking out. Like, oh my God, they're going to cancel the contract. I'm going to be fired. I'm in trouble for this again. Fuck that boss. I don't want to talk to her. And you just get on the call and it's like, hey, just wanted to check in with you about XYZ and it's no big deal. I used to have that happen to me all of the time. And that just fear of, oh my God, something is so wrong. And the last few times I've actually been able to catch myself, notice, oh my God, I'm going there. Oh my God, I'm feeling something in my body. That email scares me. That calendar invite is freaking me out. But recognizing it, working away from it and getting my mind right and aligned. And I'm telling you, the last few times that I've gotten those messages, like we should talk, they have been business proposals, partnership ideas, and additional business. I'm not saying that I changed the outcome, but what I'm starting to do is practice catching myself in the state of dysregulation, noticing that my relationship with work, when I get triggered, is not in a good place, and then recognizing that the way that I be with work when I'm dysregulated is the same way that I be with my family, with my partner, with my money. And I look at all of these things and they all start to line up and I'm doing the same bad habits in every area in my life. And I'm like, oh fuck, it's me. I'm the problem. And the good news is I figured out how to solve the problem. And I have been so obsessed with studying this. I'm talking about your girl got a 5-star notebook like I was going into the 8th grade. I went to Staples. I got some supplies. I have highlighters. I have been studying this like a freak because nothing has changed my life so quickly as understanding my dynamic and all of the relationships and all of the things in my life. So today's episode is the start of many conversations that we're going to have, which are going to culminate in something that I am so excited about, a live event for all of us to get together, connect, and really break this down because I have had such amazing mentors and teachers over the last 4 months. I have called on everybody from God to Gabby Bernstein and every book, everything in between to apply this and the ease, the transformation that I have in my life, the I'm going to figure it out in my business, the it's okay, everything changes and I have a better idea, or I'm going to stop doing what I was doing. I'm going to do something even fucking better. I mean, you guys, this is what the rich life is all about. This is the peace. This is the unlock. This is the 5 dimensions of wealth all rolled into one. It all starts in the relationships that we have. So let's start with that. Let's start with exploring the relationships because obviously when I say relationships, and we're going to talk a lot about interpersonal relationships, your relationship with your partner. By the way, I also want to talk a lot more about having money conversations with your partner because those are ones that Justin and I have been having recently too. And I've just been doing a lot of research on that and I'm really excited to share. But today when we talk about a relationship, I want to take us away from the regular relationship dynamic that we typically think of, which is usually with our romantic partners. Whether you have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a partner, we are talking about all relationships here. And we need to define what that means truly, because I think a lot of people look at me like I'm a little woo-woo when I say your relationship with money. But a relationship doesn't have to just be between two people, and it definitely doesn't have to be romantic, right? You can have a relationship with your PE teacher. That's probably not romantic, or at least I hope it's not. But a relationship, just generally speaking, is a dynamic. And that can look like some sort of emotional connection or emotional response, like feeling love or fear or anxiety about something. That's an emotional reaction that you have to something where there's interplay. You have some sort of connection there, and this person, place, or thing is causing you an emotional response. Another way I define a relationship would be the repeated pattern or repeated behavior that you do or this thing does to you. It also could be something that you have boundaries with or a lack of boundaries with, or maybe you just have something in your life that you give meaning to, or its existence gives meaning to you. So a relationship is not just two people talking, like your barista at Blue Bottle Coffee and you might not have a deep relationship, you have some relationship, but you can absolutely have relationships with inanimate objects or ideas, like a conceptual thing, right? I think there's a lot of different examples, and we get into it. I want to prove to you that you can have a relationship with money and that it is a two-way street. It's not just you responding to money. It is money makes you feel a certain way and you make money feel a certain way. It is reciprocal. And I think that's the biggest thing, because once we recognize that we have a component where we bring the energy, the language, the beliefs, and we influence the other thing, then it becomes an exchange. A relationship goes both ways. So I think an unlock for me here was like, oh yeah, I have a relationship with money. Like I spend time with it, I date it, etc. But I didn't even realize how much the way that I showed up to money influenced how money reacted to me. So let's go through this a couple of less charged examples, but I bet you will feel this way. Do you have a relationship with your job? I'm going to tell you something. When it was 2018, I went to the Bliss Project hosted by Lori Harder in Orange County, California. Holla if you were there, because for some reason, I met a lot of people later on in life that were also at that personal development seminar. And I went there. It was my second time. Maybe it was 20, no, it was 2018 for sure. And I literally spent the whole time processing. This is a personal development thing, like be your best self, start your business, whatever. I was still working in my quote unquote corporate job. I spent the whole time crying about my boss and how much I resented my boss and how angry I was at my boss and how unfair everything was. And the reality was it had nothing to do with my boss. It had everything to do with my job, because I was honestly addicted to my job title. I felt pride around my job title and my importance at that company. I knew my job was toxic. I knew I had to leave the relationship, which I eventually did. But I was also so emotionally invested in everything, all of the drama, because it gave my life meaning. And now looking back, I recognize that all of the ways that I showed up to that job with my sense of self-importance, with my energy, with my competitiveness, with my chip on my shoulder, with me saying this job is toxic, everything in here is unfair, my boss is mean to me, he's too hard on me, all of the ways that I showed up with all of those beliefs influenced the way the rest of that company, all of the people in it, that job, all of the vendors, all of the projects, they all reflected back to me what I brought. If you've ever said something like, I'm loyal to my company, or I'm married to my work, I don't know how much more clear we could be about that. It's a relationship established with what it is that you're doing, because you're talking about the emotional investment, the identity, and even conflict, which are all hallmarks of a relationship. So I've absolutely had a relationship with my job, with a career, with my business. Like if I look at the success of my business as a reflection of my identity, that's just setting me up to fail. Because what's the measuring stick? Am I looking at my revenue for how valuable I am? Am I looking at how many contracts I sign to prove how good I am at what I do? If I'm looking for my value in my business or my job, I'm always outsourcing my worth to some metric outside of myself. And for people like me, hyper overachievers, that's a really easy place to be, because when you go through school and you get A's and you get good grades on tests and you succeed in things and you get promoted, it's very easy to fall into the trap of, well, of course I'm great at my job, and of course that brings me value, and of course that makes me worthy. But what happens when all of that goes away? What happened when I left my last job? I quit, I left, and all of a sudden my phone stopped ringing. I wasn't important anymore, and I had a little bit of an identity crisis. And if you've ever been unemployed, I ask you this question. If you were unemployed, does that mean that you are not a valuable person? Does that mean that you are not worthy of working or having a job? We assign all of this meaning to work, but if you've ever been unemployed, what does that mean about you? It doesn't mean anything about you. You being unemployed is a function of the job market or the economy, or you haven't found the right job yet. There are so many variables out there, but it doesn't change your value. It doesn't change your worthiness. Just the same way if you're single and you're looking for a relationship, that doesn't change your value or your worthiness. You're just applying for more jobs, right? You're trying to find your partner, person to share your life with. And the way that we show up in all of these different interactions, like you might have a relationship with dating. That's a great one, right? You have this idea about what you want, and you have these ideas and values and standards about what it is you're looking for, and you're either anti-app or you're on the apps or whatever is happening. You have a relationship with the process of dating. It's not about the people that you're dating. You're obviously going to have a relationship with them, but you have ideas around and anxiety or excitement or some sort of emotional charge around dating, the process of doing it, the discovery. It's either daunting to you, you have language around it, there's no good guys in the city, or dating is fun, I love a free meal, or this is just an opportunity to get to know people, or I'm looking for my next husband. All of those things that you say are reflecting the relationship that you have with dating. And the way that you show up in that process is going to determine your outcome. If you have a desire to only go on dates with people that you expect to feel love at first sight, know you're going to marry them on the first date kind of love, then all the dates that you go on that are not that are going to be disappointing. But if you go into it with a mind of everybody's a new person to meet, I get to work on my sales pitch for myself, I love to enjoy a nice margarita, then you get to enjoy a lot of nice margaritas. So the way that we show up to any relationship is reflected back to us. Let me give you another example. Food. We all have some sort of relationship with food. We all have to eat, right? Unless you're on a GLP-1 right now and you have no food noise, good for you. But the relationship that we all have with food is, it's very culturally driven. It also can be driven by comfort or anxiety. If you have a lot of anxiety around how many carbs you're getting and are you getting enough protein, or maybe you're just overthinking calorie counts and, oh my gosh, I ate this dessert that I was comforting myself with and I have to go walk on the treadmill for an hour and a half. That is a very anxiety producing relationship with food. Or maybe you're just avoidant. Maybe you're just eating things like you're getting takeout from Olive Garden five nights a week and you're eating that fettuccine Alfredo and you don't care it's made with cream. You don't care it's made with a stick of butter. You're living like Paula Dean, baby, and you're just going to turn your head and look the other way. Those different types of dynamics that we have with food are reflected physically back in our body, in our health. Like if you're eating fettuccine Alfredo every single night, you're not lifting heavy at the gym the next day. Running a 5K? What a fucking joke. Not on an Olive Garden diet. So that relationship that we have, the ways that we show up with food, the ways that we rationalize what we give ourselves to treat, whether it's for a reward or we have some sort of paradigm around, we can't control ourselves around carbs or mashed potatoes or my worst enemy, whatever that might be. We all have a relationship there. And the way we show up, the way that we bring our energy to our relationship with food will be reflected back to us in the way that we feel physically. Same thing with time. My newest hack with time is just telling myself there is enough time. And you want to know what happens? Enough time seems to materialize. I've really been working on my relationship with time because I've talked about this before. I have a lot of stress around time. Like there's never enough time or there's so many meetings or whatever. I used to think about capacity a lot. In fact, when I first started seeing Julia Balto, my hypnotherapist, which if you have not listened to that episode, you got to go back and listen to it because she's a genius. But I first started seeing her and I was asking for more capacity. I thought I needed to have more capacity so that I could work harder, so that I could make more money and grow my business more. And what I recognized instead was it wasn't about capacity. I didn't need more energy or more time. I needed more support, and I needed to let go, and I didn't need to control so many things. But if you have conversations with yourself about time slipping through your fingers, or you're always racing the clock, well, those reflect a belief system and a power struggle and a mindset of scarcity. You might feel like you have anxiety around time, or you might feel overly attached to schedules for safety, or maybe you're just chaotic. You're just disorganized. You can't keep a schedule. You're always running late. Whatever way you show up with time, you have a relationship with it. And that's based on your internal belief system. It's based on the evidence that you're looking at, you're looking for to reinforce what you think about time. I know you have, if you are a woman listening to this episode, a relationship with your body or your appearance. I don't even have to get into that, because without me talking about it, I know there's some sort of belief system in your head about your body, about what you need to be doing differently, or how you need to be looking differently, or what you feel good about or what you feel bad about, what you want to change, what you want to fix. It's why there's a multi-billion dollar beauty and fitness industry out there shaping all of the relationships that we have with our body or appearance. We can have relationships with our home, with our space. Like, we can say things like, I feel safe in my home, or I feel anxious when there's clutter. All of these different ways that we relate to the spaces that we're in. You know how you just feel good and like, I'm in this amazing hotel. I feel good. I feel creative. There's color. There's texture. I feel good in here. I'm having a relationship with the environment, and it's giving me a different mental state. Like, I'm having a better relationship with recording this podcast in this boutique hotel than I would at a Motel 6 on the side of the freeway, because that would be a little sketchy and not very inspired and maybe noisy and distracting and unsafe. And that space would influence how I felt, which influences what I put out into this podcast. Like, just don't think this would be a great podcast if I was at a Motel 6. I'm just going to say that right now. And lastly, I want to talk about a little bit of technology in our phones and social media and all the things. Like, a lot of us are addicted to our phones. A lot of us say that we're addicted to our phones. A lot of us are willing to admit it. I am definitely willing to admit it. A lot of us are going to say, my screen time on TikTok is out of control. I feel bad when I doom scroll or get into a scroll hole. All of these different dynamics that we have with technology, they're underscoring things like emotional dependency, like we're getting dopamine hits, we're having shame spirals. All these things are all relationship dynamics. And so now I've spent all this time convincing you of all of these relationships that exist in your life that you're probably not super conscious to, because when I say the word relationship, you're like, yeah, I've got a relationship with my dog, and I've got a relationship with my man, and I've got a relationship with my kid. And the thing that we're here to talk about is improving your relationship with money. And what I really want to convince you of is that working on the relationship with your money will bring you the abundance that you desire. Money management and financial empowerment is not just about spreadsheets. It's not just about investments. It is about the relationship that we have with money as an idea, with money as a concept, with money as a piece of paper that holds value, with money as zeros and ones that get tapped into when you hit Apple Pay on your phone. Money is not just about numbers and paper. It is a mirror of our deepest beliefs and fears. And the reason I'm so interested in money is because, yeah, it is so charged, but it almost like cuts to the heart. It's like slicing your body in half, getting right into your soul of like, what really freaks you the fuck out? What is your deepest fear? What is your deepest desire? What is your deepest belief? What's the thing that is so ingrained in you, you don't even know that it's a belief? You didn't even know you could change it. You just think it's truth. You just think it's fact. You just think it's real. You just think it's the thing. You didn't even know that you had a belief because you just thought it was the truth, and you didn't know that it could be changed. And you didn't know that your belief was actually based on fear. That's been my awakening. And what's so crazy and so annoying is that the things that were holding me back with my relationship are also the same things that have showed up in my relationship with money. And the same things that have held me back in my relationship with my partners have been the same things that have held me back in my relationships with my business or with my job. And the habits that I have that are bad in my interpersonal relationships are the same things that I tend to do at work and with my bank account and with my investments. So this is going to be a shorty episode, but I'm going to leave you with a gift. This is kicking off our relationship series and diving so deep into the old money mindset, which is number one, regulating our financial nervous system so that we can be in securely attached relationships with money. Because just like with our interpersonal relationships with our husbands, our wives, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, when we show up with old stories and old patterns and not so healthy relationship styles, we tend to bring a lot of stuff to the relationship that doesn't need to be there. And when that stuff can be healed, removed, and regulated, all of a sudden, the love flows. All of a sudden, the abundance flows. So I have today for you a fun, easy 2-minute quiz to understand your attachment archetype to money. This is you either giving trust fund energy or trauma and trust issues. But no matter how you score, once you take the quiz, you're going to get 3 super easy action items for you to do to start healing your relationship or improving your relationship with money right away so that you can unlock that abundance flow. The quiz is available in the show notes. It's also available on oldmoneypodcast.com/resources. In the next episode, we're breaking down all of the money attachment archetypes. So go take the quiz now so that you know what your attachment archetype is. And in the next episode, I'm going to break down all 4 attachment styles and tell you why you have that attachment style and what to do with it to heal your relationship with money. Because understanding your attachment style is just the first step, but healing it is what we're going to do together. And my hope for us doing this is that you start to see every relationship in your life, your relationship with your family, with your partner, with your work, with your body, with technology, start to become the relationship you want it to be, and for that relationship to start to produce the thing that you want. That could be more money, more love, more freedom, more safety. It could be all the things. So we're going to get into it on the next episode. Again, go to oldmoneypodcast.com/resources. You will see the quiz under free resources along with a whole bunch of other good stuff, or just go to the show notes and check it out. I will talk to you guys on the next episode. I can't wait. Bye. Look at you investing in your rich life one episode at a time. You're not just listening, you're leveling up. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, or prayers, slide into my inbox at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or in my DMs on Instagram at oldmoneypodcast. If this episode made you laugh, think, or write down a single note, please do me a solid and rate, review, and subscribe. It takes less time than your morning scroll, and it helps this show reach more future millionaires. And speaking of growing the network, please share this with your ambitious bestie, your business buddy, or your secretly rich aunt. Please share the gospel of old money, and I will be more grateful than a trust fund kid on distribution day. Thank you for being here. I'm rooting for your bank account, and I will catch you on the next episode of Old Money. Remember, I am not your lawyer, I am not your tax professional, and I am not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners and their personal and professional development, and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice.